You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
Across Wisconsin on Civic Media, you're listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, powered by Up North News. Now, from our Lake Wissota studio, here's the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Kreitlow.
And good morning. Welcome back. It is 7:06. It's a Tuesday morning, December 9th. Nice to have you back here up north. Parker Olson producing things down in Madison Studio A2 coming up this hour. We will be talking to the mayor of Superior, Jim Payne, about a couple of different stories up there, one involving an officer shot and wounded, the other about affordable housing and a post that he put up over the weekend and the response to it. I think we covered a lot of ground in just that post and the responses about the problems being faced by communities all over Wisconsin on the issue of affordable housing. So you'll want to stick around for that. You're also going to want to pay attention to the weather throughout the course of the day, especially in the western parts of the state and northwest Wisconsin. A winter storm warning will go into effect later this afternoon for areas north of the I-94 corridor in western Wisconsin. And then south of there, there will be some mixed precipitation, potentially some freezing rain as well. In fact, as I look at what Rob has put up from Tigerton, good morning from Tigerton, Rob says, it's cloudy with freezing mist and 21 degrees. Got about a half inch of snow overnight, said he plowed and salted. Whereas I'm in the category of, yeah, there's about 2 inches out there, but, you know, there's 3 to 5 more coming. So I'm going to wait, which, you know, of course, gives that first layer time to freeze. Why make anything easy on yourself, right? But again, we've got this clipper system coming through, a little heavier than your normal clipper. And so pay attention both to your local forecast and to your local roads report. And maybe consider delaying those drives if you don't have to make one today. All right, it is time for our grown-up gift list text-to-win contest. This is a multi-station, multi-state game that you can take part in simply by having your Civic Media app handy and using it to text us a keyword that I'm about to give you. You have to text it by 8 o'clock because you'll have other chances to win throughout the course of the day with different keywords. And it's done every other hour starting now. So 7 a.m., 9 a.m., 11 a.m., and then at 1 p.m., 3, 5, and 7 p.m. All of those chances to send in keywords and be in the running for a daily prize of $200 cash. There will be 3 grand prize winners who will choose from a brand new snowblower, a portable air conditioner, a stainless steel cookware set. You can get the details on all the prizes by heading to civicmedia.us. Here is the word, winter. Seems appropriate. Winter. W-I-N-T-E-R. Winter is the keyword in our grown-up gift list text to win contest. Good luck, and then be listening with Jane and Greg coming up after 9 o'clock for your next chance to win. Looking at some of the things that Sherita Booker has sent us, our social media manager, she puts up all kinds of social media posts about stories that we work on and also, you know, that we collect from around the state and around the country. And on her list of stories that received the most engagements, you know, comments and likes and shares and things like that, there was the woman who was rather violently arrested at the Port Washington data center protest about a week ago or so. There was also the announcement that Mandela Barnes is running for governor. We put something on Instagram about that, and it received a whole lot of input. Obviously, as you would expect with a political story, the comments ran both ways there. On the much lighter side, one of our most popular stories on Facebook from the past week was actor Hugh Jackman scooping up custard at cops as a part of his appearance to promote the movie Song Sung Blue about a Milwaukee area couple and their Neil Diamond tribute band. And it was nice to see Hugh Jackman really taking it, embracing everything about his visit to Wisconsin. So again, those were some of our top stories. You can follow everything we do on social media by looking for Up North News WI or head to upnorthnewswi.com for links and subscribe to our newsletter while you're over there as well. All right, details are going to be coming out soon about a apparently the only way to call it is a bailout for farmers. Now, this isn't the same thing as like the bailout for the auto companies, you know, during the Great Recession, because by and large, that got paid back with interest. And we were able to save the auto industry from a recession that was not of our own making. There were a lot of factors that had to come together to hurt the economy. But the crisis that farmers are facing right now, that is entirely a man-made crisis, and it's made by one man, the President of the United States. And the real crime is that he did this last time too, where he picked up a fight with China. China said, well, I mean, we just won't buy your stuff then. And a whole lot of farmers in Wisconsin and elsewhere had no place to go with their crops because China just went to Brazil and Argentina instead. And taxpayers had to shell out somewhere north of $10 billion to send checks to farmers. And it accomplished nothing. China, by and large, did not return to the same level that they had because they have other options. So here comes Donald Trump part two. Well, you know, fool me once, shame on you. Fool me twice, shame on me. And anybody that didn't think Trump was going to do this again was sadly mistaken. So here we are again. And once again, as we know, China's gone to Argentina and Brazil. Here's the thing. So has Donald Trump. $40 billion in assistance going to Argentina, the place that's getting all of China's business because of Donald Trump's trade war. So Donald Trump's giving $40 billion to Argentina. What's he giving, quote unquote, to farmers here in the States? $12 billion. That will not make up for the loss of markets. It will keep them from going out of business. But at best, it is a Band-Aid to a program, or a problem rather, that did not have to happen. This is not to say that there isn't room for trade negotiations between countries. Of course there is. But going nuclear from the get-go, as Trump did right out of the box, only invites this kind of inevitable outcome. And let's knock down a certain talking point right away with Donald Trump saying, well, we have this money to give to our farmers because of all of the tariffs that are out there. And we're just going to take this tariff money. We've made so much money off the tariffs, and we're going to give that to our farmers. That's not what happened. That's not what's happening at all. The money in tariffs has been paid by all of us consumers with higher prices. As you've noticed, inflation has not come down. And a big part of that reason is the tariffs that Trump has slapped on imported goods that Americans still want and Americans still want to buy, but Americans are paying for it, not foreign countries. And so this is money that we're now, basically, it's another tax. We're sending more tax dollars to Washington, D.C., and Donald Trump's going to send some of that to farmers, but it's not going to make them whole because Trump has cost them their markets from places like Argentina, and he's giving Argentina $40 billion on top of it all. Got it? Make sense? No? No. Completely understandable. That's what's new there. Let's see. Also in the news is somebody that we talked about last hour, the clerk at a Cinnabon in Ashwaubenon, who went on a racist rant against a Somali-American couple and was promptly fired. Well, we've reviewed all of that already, and you've maybe seen the video already. And there have been some folks on the far right who want to defend this woman. But I would caution them not to. Because of all the places that I'm seeing stories written up about this that do not portray the woman in a flattering light, The New York Post, Rupert Murdoch, you know, Fox News, all of that. The New York Post, which will take, you know, Donald Trump's side of things 101% of the time, is not taking this woman's side because they did a little digging here. And again, this is from the New York Post story. Serial criminal Cinnabon worker in viral hate video denies she's racist for a bizarre reason. The serial criminal Cinnabon employee at the center of a viral racist video in Wisconsin denied Monday that she is prejudiced, writes the New York Post, citing her, quote, colored son. Disgraced former worker Crystal Wilsey, 43, who has been charged with more than a dozen various offenses over two decades, later appeared to have badly misused the outdated term for black people, saying her boy just had darker skin because of a health condition. Wilsey also has a lengthy rap sheet, the Post writes, which include charges of child endangerment, disorderly conduct, and drug possession, as well as traffic offenses, according to court records seen by the Post. She lost her job after footage of her foul-mouthed, hate-filled outburst toward a Somali couple at a store branch in Ashwaubenon last week was posted on TikTok. Wilsey repeatedly called the Somali pair filming her the N-word while also proudly declaring herself to be a racist. Now, again, there's plenty of room for bigots in this country because, somebody has set up a fundraiser on her behalf. And so far, the pledges are in six figures now. More than $100,000 has been pledged, whether that's followed up, whether that money actually gets to this woman from all of these bigots is, to be determined. She puts on a voiceover to a TikTok video about the racism. If you look at my Facebook from 2010, you'll see on there that I have a blended family and my son was colored. Wilsey then later appeared to go back on her claim, the Post writes, about having a, quote, colored son by saying a health condition actually made his skin darker. Addison's disease. And he was discriminated, called chocolate because of his brown skin. Explanation of racism, she wrote in one comment. Addison's disease is a rare disorder caused by an issue with the adrenal glands, which can result in darkening skin, the Post writes. And goes on to say, court records show she was charged with child endangerment, marijuana possession, marijuana drug paraphernalia in February 2022, related to an incident when she was pulled over by state troopers in Ohio. Her address at the time was listed as Green Bay. She pleaded no contest and was sentenced to 2 years probation and minor fines. The New York Post writer puts, she has also left a trail of legal destruction across the Midwest with a history of more than a dozen charges dating back almost 25 years. In June 2001, she was arrested for disorderly conduct and domestic abuse and was sentenced to 12 months probation later that year. In September of 2002, she appeared in court in Menominee County charged with marijuana offenses. A year later, she was arrested for disorderly conduct in Brown County and pleaded no contest. In January 2009, arrested for disorderly conduct in Brown County, sentenced to 3 days in jail. March 2015, driving without a license, operating a vehicle while intoxicated, driving under the influence in Hobart. She pleaded guilty and was jailed for 20 days. In June 2016, charged with resisting arrest and disorderly conduct in Outagamie County, sentenced to 90 days in jail after pleading no contest. 2 months later, in the Oneida tribal community, she was arrested for DUI with a revoked license and driving without insurance, pleaded guilty by not contesting the charges. And yet people have put in six figures worth of support for her. She claims that she was simply standing up for herself and turning into a defensive individual, and that does not make her racist. The video is there. The customer puts on the video, they simply asked for more caramel on their roll at Cinnabon because they thought she hadn't put on enough, and it appears she might have had some motivation for that, some personal motivation and some personal demons, for which I can only say, I hope she gets the help that she needs. She needs help, and apparently a little time behind bars isn't going to be the answer in this case. The Mayor Superior, Jim Payne, will be our guest coming up in 15 minutes. I'm Pat Kreitlow. You're listening to the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
I feel like I should be doing my best Brent Musburger here from the old NFL Today. You are looking live at the Hodag Dome in beautiful Rhinelander, where we find Dan Hagen scantily clad in just a tank top and shorts, freshly off the pickleball courts, where he must return again to endure another round of sweat-glazed competition with a Tuesday morning league that plays pickleball at the expanse that is the Hodag Dome. Dan Hagen from Newswatch 12, WJFW TV in Rhinelander. Dan, how are you?
I'm doing well. Yeah, you're taking me briefly from the Gen Xers who are whooping my butt back there. But yeah, I'm standing in the Hodag Dome. So this is a massive facility brought to Rhinelander a few years ago. And it's just been a boon for the community. We've had softball tournaments here last weekend. There's baseball tournaments here. We've had sporting events inside here. And we have about, 20 people playing pickleball behind me. And we have some walkers as well, so it's been really great.
That is great. And of course, folks who listen to this program know we talked a lot when the Hodag Dome collapsed because of a winter storm. Clearly those repairs were made, and everything looks right as rain there.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, so a backup generator failed last time, so
that was
making
it,
sure
yes.
that's working this time. And it gets use every single day, so it's been massive.
I could completely see that. So we missed you the past couple of weeks. You were up doing some cross-country skiing in Canada, a little training for the Birkebeiner. How did that go?
It went great, yeah. So my family went out there for the Thanksgiving week, anticipating we wouldn't have any snow in the Northwoods, as the last few years have been an indication. Ironically, there was snow here, at least in the Upper Peninsula. That would have been skiable, but it was still an awesome trip. It's Silver Star Mountain in British Columbia. So that's getting my training off to a great start. And then I went to Ironwood this past weekend to ski. And I already got in a three-hour ski, so I'm way ahead of schedule for the Birkebeiner.
Wow, you really are. That's outstanding. Hey, as I'm looking at some of the stories that folks can follow at WJFW.com that you and your team are working on, interestingly, we are going to be talking in 10 minutes with Jim Payne, the mayor of Superior, all about the issue of affordable housing. And on the Channel 12 website right now, new housing development plan for Rhinelander amid shortage, because Rhinelander, like Superior, like practically every community around Wisconsin, is wrestling with this notion of affordable housing. It's not something you can't just snap your fingers and make something happen. It really does take a community conversation. And sounds like you guys are following developments in Rhinelander as well on that front.
Yeah, so Shore West Realty, Pete Tenderholt and Deb Mann have been doing some awesome work in Rhinelander. They're bringing this housing complex. They found a developer in Madison. The mayor, Chris Hannis, has been working on this, as well as the Oneida County Economic Development Corporation and Tony Farrow. So that's going to be massive for Rhinelander, and we need a lot more of that. But one thing I will say is that a local artist slash older person just announced his bid for mayor in Rhinelander, and the current mayor, Chris Hannis, is seeking re-election, so we'll have a race in the spring for that.
Oh, okay. So you have a contested election there. Is that a two-year term for mayors, four-year? I'm not sure myself.
I think it's four-year.
Okay.
I think it's four-year, yeah.
I mean, everybody kind of sets their own rules there. And these are, ostensibly nonpartisan elections. However, sometimes it becomes clear that somebody's a conservative or a liberal. Here in the Chippewa Valley in Eau Claire, we talked last week to City Council President Emily Berge. She is not running for re-election as City Council President in order to concentrate on her run for Congress in the 3rd Congressional District, but there are now two candidates running for that position as well. And I guess this is where I rope Dan into an unsolicited PSA about the importance of these local elections. That, yeah, we're going to talk about governor later this year and everything, but any of us who've covered local government can tell you how important these local elections are to vet, the people that will be in charge of your city, your county, your school board, your town, whatever the case may be. I hope you agree with that, Dan.
I completely agree. Yeah, it's massive in Rhinelander. There's a lot of grant funding out there. So whether you get it or not, that determines the winners and losers of where this money is allocated. So very important. We've got issues like PFAS, affordable housing, and just, making sure the streets are cleared and paved and all that good stuff.
Oh, my gosh. From a PFAS standpoint, you guys have your own problems there that you have to deal with and
right.
Somehow find the money for.
That's right. Yeah. So if we have one more well shut down in Rhinelander, we will not have enough water. So that's been an issue for a couple of years now. So it looks like we're going to go through a treatment process to try to clear out the PFAS from those two wells that were shut down. And we need money to do it.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, that's something I know we followed in Wausau for quite a while. And so, you know, different communities are having to wrestle with that and try not to go the way of some other Wisconsin communities that have had to have all of their water trucked in. They're just living off of bottled water right now for that. So, Dan, how are your holiday preps coming along? We were talking before about whether people are sending Christmas cards anymore. I don't know if you're a sender or if you're a real tree person or a fake tree person. How's all that coming along?
Bah humbug, Pat. I don't have a tree at the moment. I haven't bought my Christmas gifts yet, so this is a good reminder for me to get my button gear. I don't know if I can say ass on the radio.
No, you probably shouldn't, so that's okay. You know what? That was me yesterday, recognizing that the clock was ticking and that I needed to get a move on spousal gift giving. So I think I was able to get that done yesterday. God bless the internet, you know. And then a couple of locally purchased things as well. Because, again, small businesses everywhere in all these hometowns need your support. Some are small, like, in size. Some are small businesses, but big places like the Hodag Dome. That's a big place.
That's right.
Place.
It's massive. And it's just been awesome. So I better get back to pickleball. They're eyeing me angrily.
They really are.
Yes. Usually after I miss a shot, but this time it's just because they want.
Now you're just delaying the game. Get in there, Dan. Right. We'll talk to you next week. Thanks so much. There's Dan Hagen from Newswatch 12, WJFW TV in Rhinelander. Always great to catch up with him. And coming up in just a bit, we will be catching up with the mayor of Superior, Jim Payne. And then in about 15 minutes, we will be continuing our 12 days of community kindness. We will be talking all about a place that provides support and treatment for children and youth in Dane and Columbia County experiencing abuse and neglect. So 12 days of community kindness also on the way. I'm Pat Kreitlow. You're up north. Welcome back. It is 7:35 on this Tuesday morning, December 9th, 2025. I'm Pat Kreitlow here in Chippewa Falls. We'll talk to Superior Mayor Jim Payne in just a bit, followed by the latest in our 12 days of community kindness. First, a reminder, though, we've got our grown-up gift list text to win contest going on right now. And before 8 o'clock, the keyword that you want to be sending in is winter, W-I-N-T-E-R. Again, get that Civic Media app. Text us the word winter, and you will be entered for this hour's part of the contest. There will be chances throughout the day, different keywords each time, and then one daily winner will be drawn from everyone to win a $200 cash prize and be in the running for some great grand prizes. Head to civicmedia.us to learn more. All right, time to go way up north with Superior Mayor Jim Payne. And when we set this up originally, it was to talk all about affordable housing, because it's a serious issue that a lot of communities do face. And the mayor had a very thoughtful post up on social media, so I wanted to get his thoughts on the ideas that need to be covered there. But recent events have also made it necessary to get an update on something that could have been even more terribly tragic, with a police officer being shot and wounded. Let's get the latest on there. Mayor Jim Payne, good morning. How are you?
I'm well. Thank you, Pat. Good morning.
Yeah, good morning. So what is the latest you can tell us about the episode over the weekend for folks that may not have been up to speed on it?
Well, thank you. First, it does seem like everything is resolving in a fairly straightforward way and everybody is okay. What happened is very late on Saturday night, early Sunday morning, a suspect assaulted his girlfriend who fled and called the police. When a police officer pulled him over, he immediately opened fire on that officer, shooting her twice, once through her squad car. She returned fire, as did another police officer, wounding the suspect, and they were able to apprehend him a few hours later. And while it was extremely dramatic, extremely violent, I can say it looks like everybody is okay, including the suspect. The officer will recover very well. She was released from the hospital that day. The suspect is, of course, in custody, and I feel very confident that he's going to face justice. And we're going to be able to secure guilty verdicts for pretty much all of his crimes.
All right. Appreciate the update. Jim Payne is the mayor of Superior. And we were, of course, also going to talk next about affordable housing, because it caught my eye, a post that you put up. And then, you know, some of the comments that came in as well, because you need a full community discussion on this. And I'm just going to read off a first part of it and then get your thoughts about your motivation for this. When you posted, "We need to be serious about meeting our affordable housing goals. Following some complaints from residents a few years back, I joined our housing authority board to increase oversight, but also I saw some real opportunities to improve public housing. Yesterday, a reporter asked me what I hope to accomplish. It's a good question, especially as we search for a new executive director." And then you laid out all of these points, almost a dozen different points. And I set that all up just to, again, let people know that affordable housing isn't just some kind of a press a button and more units get built kind of thing, and that, you know, there isn't one right answer for every community. So what are the kinds of things you want the Superior community thinking about and talking about?
Yeah, I think that's correct, Pat. In fact, there's no one right answer for this community. Affordable housing is one of the most challenging public policy issues that any community in the country will face. It's a very persistent problem across the United States, really across the world, and no expert has really cracked the code on how to provide it. So I've always believed that when you have a complex policy, you not only need complex solutions, many, many solutions to address the crisis. And in this context, what I was talking about the other day is our housing authority, public housing, which is roughly a 100-year-old institution. And it's an answer to the question, how do you house folks that for whatever reason, usually income related, cannot house themselves? That is a social obligation, is something we must do as a community. But doing it is very challenging. And in most ways, we have been successful, but it's not serving everybody. It's not helping everybody. And so we do have to be better. And so we are in a leadership search, and I would like a compassionate leader that does want to put residents first and make sure that we are focusing on people that are living in homelessness right now, as well as the long-term stability and opportunity of the people that are in public housing.
We're talking to Jim Payne, the mayor of Superior, about the affordable housing issue. And I always feel a personal stake in this, because I hear people talking about, for example, Section 8, which is a federal program, you know, that makes rent more affordable for lower income families, and being raised, you know, by a single mom, the oldest of four kids, including one with health issues. You know, for years, she could not work because of those, you know, health issues with a little brother. And consequently, you know, between food stamps and Section 8, these things were lifelines. And, you know, since that time, she's you know, been working for decades, paying far more back than she ever received. And obviously the same goes for me with a college education and everything else. But coming back to the root cause, we hear people saying, oh, the only people that live in affordable housing, these are troublemakers, or these are lazy people, or anything. And once again, this painting with a broad brush is just so unhelpful on this topic.
Yeah, thanks for saying that. You know, especially thanks for talking about your experience, because it is easy to think of whether you support it or don't. It's easy to think of those that live in public housing as a community instead of our community. We are one community, and many, many people in this community have benefited from some form of public housing or housing assistance in their lives, sometimes whether they know it or not. And if they don't, they probably know somebody that does. And even if living in public housing is not something that you have ever experienced, or if you've never needed help with affordability, there will be broader social impacts that affect us all. You can address crime, you can address addiction, you can address economic opportunity by providing housing. It's literally the silver bullet to most of our social and economic challenges. House people and everything else is easier.
Yeah, I've got just less than 2 minutes to ask you about. There's so many different areas here, like an unbiased eviction process, local labor protections, of course, responsive intake, you know, for people who find themselves homeless. But I just want to ask you quickly in the minute here about a note where you say prioritize residents over private developers. And that is a trap that I think some communities fall into unwittingly.
Mm-hmm. They do. And obviously, this stuff is very, very expensive, and people can make money supplying housing. That's fine as long as we're focused on providing safe and stable housing for people. That has to be the mission. However we get there, we can talk about, as long as we're prioritizing putting people in safe and stable housing.
Yeah, because again, you can't have, you know, government doesn't build the housing necessarily. This is, you know, the very definition of public-private partnerships. But again, you've got to right size the one for your community, and it's great that you make sure you let people know, prioritize the residents over the developers, and you know the rest will take care of itself. Jim Payne, the mayor of Superior, again, it's a great thoughtful post. A lot of feedback on it, so I'd look forward to continuing the conversation. Thanks for the update on your officer there in Superior as well. Probably talk to you after the holidays, so have a great holiday season. We'll talk again soon.
Same to you, Pat. Thank you.
All right, Jim. Thank you so much. And now let's turn our attention at just about 7:44 to our 12 Days of Community Kindness. Basically, we took the Giving Tuesday thing, and we said, you know, we can do this for more than a day. And we can certainly come up with 12, we could probably come up with 1,200 different groups and organizations that help out in hometowns all around Wisconsin for many reasons. And today we're going to be talking to somebody from the Canopy Center supporting children and youth in Dane and Columbia County. And Sarah Burnt is here to join us from the Canopy Center. Sarah, good morning. How are you?
Good morning. I'm doing well. How about yourself?
Very good. Thanks. You're the development director there. Tell us a bit more about what the Canopy Center does.
Sure. We are a nonprofit that provides stabilizing services for children and youth who've experienced abuse and neglect. So we walk alongside children and families during some of the most difficult times in their lives. We advocate for children and youth in foster care. We provide a safe place for children who've been separated from their families for safety concerns. And we make healing possible for survivors of childhood sexual abuse through our no-cost mental health clinic.
So there's advocacy, there's support, there's therapeutic treatment. How many children roughly do you help in a given year?
We average between 200 and 250 children per year, but I always tell people our goal is not to serve more children each year. It's to be able to serve all of the children who come through our doors. So that can look different from year to year. But something that we're really proud of is that we walk alongside these children and youth for as long as they need it.
Sarah Burnt is with us from Canopy Center, helping children and youth who have experienced abuse and neglect in Dane and Columbia County. And yes, by helping, 269 children last year, there's certainly yeah, others who have not received that kind of help, but you know, maybe do not know that there's a place like yours that provides help. How do people volunteer? What kinds of things can they help with?
So we have a number of volunteer opportunities. We rely on volunteers to be able to provide the services that we do. We have volunteers who work at our front desk and welcome families into the space and provide childcare for siblings whose sibling is receiving therapeutic treatment, giving parents a break. We have more intense volunteer opportunities like our court-appointed special advocates, which requires some more intense training, but those advocates are paired one-to-one with foster children and walk alongside them in their journey, writing reports to the court to advocate for their best interests.
Yeah, we're talking about families that need, you know, the whole scope of care, both the adults who may be facing all types of issues, and as a result, the children will be facing issues as well. And so that's where the Canopy Center comes in. CanopyCenter.org is the address. There is a room I notice here for cash donations as well as an Amazon wish list. What are the kinds of items that Canopy Center needs the most?
So we have a number of items on our wish list to support our mental health clinic. So we provide a lot of play therapy. So there are, you'll see toys, fidgets, other items like that. And then we also have items that our CASA advocates use with the children and teens that they work with. So oftentimes they'll meet with them and play a game or do a craft. And so there's items like that on the wish list as well. And you'll notice we also have some gift cards. Oftentimes the best way to engage our teens is to meet for a cup of coffee or a cheeseburger and talk. So we do that as well.
Yeah. Again, never underestimate the power of gift cards for just the right given circumstance. So again, how would you like people to learn more and make a donation?
Go to canopycenter.org. You'll see our volunteer opportunities. You'll see ways to give back. We know that families are the backbone of our community, and it takes all of us to create the change we want to see for our neighbors.
Absolutely. The Canopy Center providing advocacy, support, and therapeutic treatment for children and youth in Dane and Columbia County who have experienced abuse and neglect. Sarah Berndt is the development director there. Reach them at canopycenter.org. Sarah, thank you very much for taking part in our 12 Days of Community Kindness. We hope you have a good holiday season and find the opportunity to expand your mission to reach everybody who needs help. And let's hope that that number of people who needs help gets smaller and smaller all the time.
Absolutely. Thank you so much.
All right. Thank you, Sarah. Take care now. Have a great day. Still ahead in our 8 o'clock hour, we will be talking to Ruth Connett from the Wisconsin Examiner about how in county jails across Wisconsin, we ask, should those jails be used for ICE roundups of people who are not covered by an arrest warrant? You know, like actual criminals? Ruth Conniff has written a column about that, and we'll talk to her about that in our 8 o'clock hour. I'm Pat Kreitlow from Up North News. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
Have got 7 minutes or less to get the word winter texted into us as part of the Grown Up Gift List Text to Win contest. Get that Civic Media app. Text us the word winter, W-I-N-T-E-R. Your next chance to play with a different keyword comes in the 9 o'clock hour with Jane and Greg on Matinair On Air. Let's turn now to James Kelly from Civic Media, the newsroom in Chippewa Falls, to tell us about stories he's following across western Wisconsin. Jim, good morning. How are you?
Jim. I haven't heard that one.
I haven't either. I was looking over here, and I'm like, where did that come from? This says James clearly right here. There is somebody else. Oh, you know who it is? You know who it is? Jim Santel.
Jim Santel. I would have went with Jimmy Koska.
He puts James up on the screen on the social media thing here, so it says James Santel, but he goes by Jim. So I immediately saw the James, and I just immediately converted it to Jim. I apologize.
That's okay. I've been called Jim before. I don't take any offense to it.
Okay.
I was actually named after Jim Kelly, the quarterback. My dad doesn't know that. My mom was a really big fan.
Not Jimbo Fisher, the football coach? Okay. Well,
oh, no.
So Jimbo won't work?
Jimbo was a little too far.
Gotcha. Okay. James Kelly is here now to tell us about stories he's following in western Wisconsin. And we had started with a little fun for a serious cause in the Menominee area.
Yeah, a nice little way to add some competition to a blood drive. The American Red Cross has been looking for donations desperately for the past few months. They've always been running low on donations of all kinds, specifically the universal donor O negative. So this week, the Battle of the Badges will take place in Menominee. It'll be the Menominee Police Department and Fire Department. That's starting today at Stout Craft Co. in Menominee. It'll be 8:30 a.m. to 2:30 p.m. today and 11 a.m. to 5 p.m. tomorrow. Just trying to see which department can raise the most blood in blood drive. That's just great. A nice little way to add some competition to the mix.
Absolutely. Whatever gets those contributions up is definitely needed. All right. Next door to Chippewa County, let's see what they're doing there for some residents with dementia.
Yeah, the Chippewa County Sheriff's Office has received $2,100 in community impact grant funding from the Chippewa Valley Dementia Coalition. This funding is meant to kind of research some new technology that can help families, particularly who may have, you know, a parent or a grandparent who has dementia and is at risk of maybe wandering out of the house, especially during the colder months. So a little bit of technology research there. And they can also, you know, provide their information for their family members directly to the county sheriff's office. So if they do wander off and they do go missing for a time, it's easier to kind of get their information out there, get a picture out there and get everybody looking.
Okay, we're talking to James Kelly from Civic Media in our Chippewa Valley newsroom. You can follow him at 93.5 The Tap or WCFW HD2 here in the Chippewa Valley. And on the web, you can see current headlines, weather, and upcoming local sports. The website is thetap.fm, thetap.fm. What's happening in the city of Menominee? They've got a tree issue there.
Yeah, back to the city of Menominee. This is an issue that affects a lot of cities across Wisconsin. The emerald ash borer, those invasive beetles that are killing all the ash trees in the state, Over the winter, crews are going to be removing kind of the high priority safety type removals for these trees because the emerald ash borer can cause a lot of damage. They're at risk of falling, especially when there's like wet, heavy snow. The trees could fall over and cause some more damage. So they're going to start with those high priority removals and then move to the Elmwood Edition neighborhood and then move to North Menominee, just trying to get rid of those trees. And they'll work on reseeding and planting them as well as they go.
All right. And finally, the issue of refugee resettlement comes up occasionally in Wisconsin. And a congressman from up north who's running for governor is somebody especially vocal on that front.
Yeah, Congressman Tom Tiffany. This is actually the second time he's introduced this bill called the CARE Act, which would essentially allow even local municipalities to reject refugee resettlement efforts. This started after there were 75 refugees who were going to be relocated to the Chippewa Valley. Even the Eau Claire County Board actually considered a resolution trying to pause it and voted against that resolution in the end. But this would give a lot of power to local municipalities to pause these federal efforts.
All right. James Kelly follows that and more through 93.5 The Tap here in the Chippewa Valley, thetap.fm, or of course through the Civic Media website. James, thank you very much. Hope you have a great start to the day.
Have a good one, guys.
All right. And well, let me pick up on that last point there from Congressman Tom Tiffany, who is running for governor. And again, this so-called refugee resettlement bill. And what he wants is the ability to veto groups of people who are trying to escape war-torn areas and come build a better life in America. And he basically wants an entire community to put a moat symbolically around themselves and say no. Folks, we have been down this road before. And I think sometimes people too easily forget our history, where there may not have been direct signage as there was in the Deep South, but there were all kinds of ways where communities could veto anybody who didn't have the same color skin from living in their towns, or anybody who was Jewish. I think specifically of the city of Minneapolis had a terrible issue with this. It finally took a young reform-minded politician named Hubert Humphrey to be elected mayor of Minneapolis and to help eventually bring an end to that. Tom Tiffany wants to bring that brand of racism back. Tom Tiffany has made a very good living out of standing up for white guys who want to play the role of victim and be able to say to people, you can't move here. The same way that people wanted to say that to probably his relatives and many others, saying, well, you came from Ireland or you came from Italy. You're dirty. You can't live here. And now we're doing it for refugees from the Congo, from Afghanistan, from Somalia. And there's probably a bit more to it than just the fact that they're foreigners. But Tom Tiffany has always known that you can make a pretty good living as a politician if you just stand up for those poor, victimized white people and forget anything that the Bible might have told you about helping out your neighbor in a time of crisis. So Tom Tiffany will propose this bill, but hopefully there are still enough good Americans out there that understand what we are built on, not just as a country, but our moral fiber as well. Cam Stevenson from Courier Newsroom joins us live from the nation's capital to talk about what's happening out there. And then later, Ruth Conniff from the Wisconsin Examiner will join us. I'm Pat Kreitlow from Up North News, part of Courier Newsroom. And these mornings, powered by Up North News, are brought to you here weekday mornings on the Civic Media Radio Network.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.